The following is a review of derivatives principles and is designed to address the learning outcome statements set forth by CFA Institute. It is also covered in Basics of Derivative Pricing and Valuation. The first LOS for this topic review is to explain how the concepts of arbitrage, replication, and risk neutrality are used in pricing derivatives. For most risky assets, we estimate current value as the discounted present value of the expected price of the asset at some future time. Because the future price is subject to uncertainty, the discount rate includes a risk premium along with the risk-free rate. There may be costs of owning an asset, such as storage and insurance costs. For financial assets, these costs are very low and not significant. The other important cost of holding an asset is the opportunity cost of the funds that are invested in the asset, which we usually measure as the asset cost times the risk-free rate compounded over the holding period. There may also be benefits to holding the asset, either monetary or non-monetary. Dividend payments on a stock or interest payments on a bond are examples of monetary benefits of owning an asset. Non-monetary benefits of holding an asset are sometimes referred to as its convenience yield. The convenience yield is difficult to measure and is only significant for some assets, primarily commodities. If an asset is difficult to sell short in the market, owning it may convey benefits in circumstances where selling the asset is advantageous. For example, a shortage of the asset may drive prices up, making sale of the asset in the short term profitable. While the ability to look at a painting or sculpture provides non-monetary benefits to its owner, this is unlikely with corn or other commodities. The net cost of holding an asset, considering both the costs and benefits of holding the asset, is referred to as the cost of carry. Taking into account all of these costs and benefits, we can describe the present value of an asset as the present value of its expected future price, plus the present value of benefits of holding the asset, minus the present value of costs of holding the asset. We assume that investors are risk-averse, so they require a positive premium and therefore a higher return on risky assets. An investor who is risk-neutral would require no risk premium and, as a result, would discount the expected future value of an asset at the risk-free rate. In contrast to this model of calculating the current value of a risky asset, the valuation of derivative securities is based on a no-arbitrage condition. Arbitrage refers to a transaction wherein an investor purchases one asset or portfolio of assets at one price and simultaneously sells an asset or portfolio that has the same future payoff, regardless of future events, at a higher price, realizing a risk-free gain on the transaction. While arbitrage opportunities may be rare, the reasoning is that when they do exist, they will be exploited rapidly. Therefore, we can use the no-arbitrage condition to determine the current value or spot price of an asset or portfolio of assets that have the same future payoffs regardless of future events. Because there are transactions costs of exploiting an arbitrage opportunity, small differences in price may persist because the arbitrage gain is less than the transaction's cost of exploiting it. In markets for traditional securities, we don't often encounter two assets that have the same future payoffs. With derivative securities, however, the risk of the derivative is entirely based on the risk of the underlying asset. So we can construct a hedged portfolio of the underlying asset and a derivative based on it that has no uncertainty about its value at some future date. Because the future payoff is certain, we can calculate the present value of the portfolio as the future payoff discounted at the risk-free rate. This will be the current value of the portfolio under the no-arbitrage condition, which will force the return on a risk-free hedged portfolio to the risk-free rate. This structure, with a long position in the asset and a short position in a forward contract, can be represented as asset position at time zero, plus a short position in a forward contract at time zero equals the present value of the payoff on the asset at expiration of the forward plus the present value of the payoff on the short forward contract at expiration, both discounted at the risk-free rate. Because the payoff at expiration of the forward is from a fully hedged position, its value at expiration is certain. To prevent arbitrage, this equality must hold. If the net cost of buying the asset and selling the forward is less than the present value, discounted at the risk-free rate, of the certain payoff at expiration, an investor can borrow the funds at the risk-free rate to buy the asset, sell the forward, and earn a risk-free return in excess of the risk-free rate. If the net cost is greater than the present value of the certain payoff at expiration, an arbitrager could sell the hedged position, short the asset, invest the proceeds at the risk-free rate, and buy the forward. At expiration, the asset could be purchased with the maturity payment on the loan, and the excess of that repayment over the forward price is a gain with no net investment over the period. When the equality holds, we say the derivative is currently at its no arbitrage price. Because we know the risk-free rate, the spot price of the asset, and the certain payoff at expiration, we can solve for the no arbitrage price of the derivative based on the no arbitrage price of the forward. Note the investor's risk aversion has not entered into our valuation of the derivative as it did when we described the valuation of a risky asset. For this reason, the determination of the no arbitrage derivative price is sometimes called risk-neutral pricing, which is the same as no arbitrage pricing or the price under a no arbitrage condition. Because we can create a risk-free asset or portfolio from a position in the underlying asset that is hedged with a position in a derivative, we can duplicate the payoff on a derivative position with the risk-free asset and the underlying asset, or duplicate the payoffs of the underlying asset with a position in the risk-free asset and the derivative. This process is called replication, because we are replicating the payoffs on one asset or portfolio with those of a different asset or portfolio. As an example of replication and risk-neutral pricing, consider a long position in a stock and a short position in a forward contract at 50 on the stock. Regardless of the price of the stock at the settlement of the forward contract, the stock will be delivered for the forward price of 50. As 50 will be received at the forward settlement date, the value today is 50, discounted at the risk-free rate for the time until settlement of the forward contract. Therefore, we can replicate the long forward position by purchasing a share of stock and borrowing the present value of 50 at the risk-free rate, so the value at the maturity of the loan will be the stock price minus 50. Alternatively, we could replicate a short forward position by selling a share of stock short and lending the present value of 50 at the risk-free rate. The next LOS is to distinguish between the value and price of forward and futures contracts. Recall that the value of futures and forward contracts is zero at initiation. As the expected future price of the underlying asset changes, the value of the futures or forward contract position may increase or decrease with the gains or losses in value of the long position in the contract, just opposite to the gains or losses in the short position on the contract. In contrast to the value of a futures or forward position, the price of a futures or forward contract refers to the futures or forward price specified in the contract. As an example of this difference, consider a long position in a forward contract to buy the underlying asset in the future for $50, which is the forward contract price. At initiation of the contract, the value is zero, but the contract price is $50. If the expected future value of the underlying asset increases, the value of the long contract position will increase, and the value of the short position will decrease by a like amount. The contract price at which the long forward can purchase the asset in the future remains the same. If a new forward contract were now created, it would have a zero value, but a higher forward price that reflects the higher expected future value of the underlying asset. Next, we are asked to explain how the value and price of a forward contract are determined at expiration, during the life of the contract, and at initiation. Because neither party to a forward contract pays to enter the contract at initiation, the forward contract price must be set so the contract has zero value at initiation. To understand how this price is set, consider an asset that has no storage costs and no benefits to holding it, so that the net cost of carry is simply the opportunity cost of the invested funds, which we assume to be the risk-free rate. Under these conditions, the current forward price of an asset to be delivered at time T must equal the spot price of the asset compounded at the risk-free rate for a period of length T in years. If the forward price were greater than the spot price of the asset compounded at the risk-free rate, an arbitrager could take a short position in the forward contract, promising to sell the asset at time T at this greater forward price, and buy the asset at its spot price with funds borrowed at the risk-free rate, which requires no cash investment in the position. At time T, the arbitrager would deliver the asset and receive the forward price, repay the loan at a cost of the spot price compounded at the risk-free rate, and keep the positive difference. If the forward price were less than the spot price compounded at the risk-free rate, a profit could be earned with the opposite transactions, short selling the asset for the spot price, investing the proceeds at the risk-free rate, and taking a long position in the forward. At time T, the arbitrager would receive the spot price compounded at the risk-free rate from investing the proceeds of the short sale, pay the lower forward price to purchase the asset and cover the short position, and keep the difference. This process is the mechanism that ensures the forward price is the no-arbitrage price in a forward contract that has zero value at initiation. During its life, the value of the forward contract is the spot price of the asset minus the present value of the forward price. At expiration, the payoff to a long forward is the difference between the spot price of the asset at expiration and the price of the forward contract.